Okay, I think it's just important to pray before we start. Father God, I thank you that there are indeed Christians all around the world and that we are gathered here today in peace to fellowship and to come before you and to learn from you, that your Holy Spirit might communicate your words to us. And Lord, I just pray that I will speak your truth and only your truth, Lord, and anything else will just be forgotten. Dwell in us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Now, I'm going to start by making a disclaimer. I'm not a Bible translator, and I realise that I am in the presence of much greater ones than I. Although they're being very humble, I know that they've been to far more lectures on the stuff than I would have done. If you wanted to talk nursing, it would probably be a bit better. But I just want to go through this morning and read through that psalm again in a way that it might have sounded to its early listeners, because some words can get lost in translation. I know that from when I was trying to learn Arabic. Some things, you can have several words for the same thing, or the other way around. So, just to explain, I have taken this attempt at a translation from the Orthodox Jewish Psalms and also from a Semitic dictionary. The Semitic languages are a group of languages, Hebrew, Arabic, some others which I can't remember, and Aramaic, which our guests down in the Sunday school are speakers of. So, if we can have the psalm up, and then I'm just going to stun you by using some different words. But they are going to be mostly in English. Elohim, be gracious unto us, and put a blessing upon us, and make his face to shine upon us. Pay attention. That your way may be known upon all the earth, your salvation among all the non-Jews. Let the societies praise you, O Elohim. Let all societies praise you. And let the peoples be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the peoples upon all the earth. Pay attention. Let the societies praise you, O Elohim. Let all the societies praise you. Then shall all the earth yield her harvest, and Elohim, even our own Elohim, shall put a blessing upon us. Elohim shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, at this point, I'm just going to give you an amusing side note, perhaps, from my own experience. So, the word Elohim is the plural of Eloha. I don't expect to be any great pronouncer of Hebrew. But the interesting thing about that word is the roots in Semitic languages tend to be very similar. And so the word Allah, which many people think of as a Muslim word, but actually the Christians had for a long time before, is Arabic, equivalent of that very word. Now, many people think that mission is a New Testament idea. In fact, apart from the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, many Christians think that it begins with Acts, and especially with the work of St. Paul. That view is wrong, if not perhaps even heretical. Walk into a church and start saying words like heretical. So, firstly, not only did Jesus regularly talk about the kingdom of God reaching out to the whole earth, but He also cleared the court of the Gentiles, the place in the temple where non-Jews were supposed to go and worship. And more than that, he ministered to and did many miracles with non-Jewish people, such as the Syrophoenician woman and the people in the 10 Greek cities just across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus shows compassion to those who are not of his own people group or culture. Now, further, I just want to talk a little bit about Luke chapter 4, verse 25 to 27. Now, this is when I'm really going to challenge the audiovisual people. So, in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 to 27, Luke breaks with the style of the poetic Hebrew parallelism. That's supposed to be an English word, but I still struggled with it. So that's a style which the listeners of his time would be familiar with. It's used in teaching, and which Jesus almost certainly used when teaching those who came to hear him. Now, Luke interrupts this pattern of A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D. And there are four themes in this passage. A, many widows or lepers in Israel. B, in the days of Elijah or Elisha. C, none helped. D, except a widow from Sidon and Naaman from Syria. Now, Luke's gospel was aimed at a Gentile, that means non-Jewish, readers. And so, within that poetic style, he adds a footnote. Now, I don't know, some of you might have got your Bibles open, and there might be at the bottom of the page in your Bibles, in places, footnotes explaining something. Have any of you seen any of those? Yeah, okay, nodding heads, that's good, right. So, well, Luke, when he did this, he couldn't do that because they didn't have books in the way that we do. They had scrolls. So if you went to look at the footnote at the bottom of your page, then you'd be kind of going through and through and through and through and through, and you get to the bottom and you find the footnote, and you may well have forgotten why you went to the bottom anyway. And then, well, you have to go back up the scroll to find where you were. And if you're anything like me, you will have probably forgotten where you were anyway. And so he puts the footnote in the middle of what he's writing. And he does so because non-Jews wouldn't know the background of the story that Jesus is preaching. And he writes, "When the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land." That's something that the Jewish readers and the Jewish listeners would have understood. But people who weren't familiar with the Hebrew scriptures, they wouldn't have known that. Now, why is what I've just been talking about, this passage, significant? Is it because Luke is writing the good news of God's salvation to non-Jewish people? Well, that's fantastic. It's really great. It's something that we should celebrate. But that's not why this is significant in what I'm saying this morning. The reason isn't the footnote. The reason is that Jesus is speaking to Jews who knew the Hebrew scriptures. And he is quoting them to people familiar with them. And what he quotes are two examples of God's mission to the wider world within those Hebrew scriptures, probably in your Bibles called the Old Testament. And today's passage is another example of God's world mission within the Hebrew scriptures. Even if the readers or listeners didn't always follow up on it. Now, Psalm 67, unlike many praise or worship songs, doesn't begin with praise of God or an account of God's wonderful attributes. We saw some wonderful actions earlier of God's attributes and the amazing things that he does. But this song doesn't start that way. It starts by making a request to God. Uses the word Elohim, which is the word for God right at the beginning in Genesis 1. It asks God for grace and for his blessing and his light for those his people. And at the end of that verse, it says, pay attention or meditate. It's a word which many people have struggled to translate, but in certain Bible translations, some say it's just a musical note. Some Bible translations put it as meditate. And in Arabic, it comes out as pay attention. So that's what I thought I'd say this morning. But meditate is just as good a approach. Now, verse 2 goes on from this and gives us an explanation for this very gospel-style request. At the start, at least, the verse has a very strong resemblance to what we call the Lord's Prayer. And it makes three requests of us that should enable, it says your, and that's God's way to be known on earth, and God's salvation. The word used here is Yahweh, Yeshua, or in English, Jesus. God's salvation known upon all the earth, all the Gentiles or non-Jews. So, in receiving that grace, God's blessing and God's light, the result should be that God's way being known on all of the earth, not just part of it, all of it, all the way from Australia, right the way through to Hawaii. I'm not going to try and give you the times, particularly as one of my friends from Canada phoned up in the middle of the night. So the whole earth, not just part of it, not just known in Israel, not just known across in Babylon, not just known by Nebuchadnezzar over in Assyria, not just known by people out to parts of Greece and Turkey and Rome, but the whole earth. And God's salvation being known to the other people, not just to the people who were listening. Therefore, verse 1 must empower God's people to do these things. So we see that in the Hebrew scriptures, they sang for God to empower them with grace, with God's blessing and God's light, that they would make God's way known over all the earth, and for all non-Jews to know God's salvation. Later, Yeshua el Messiah, Jesus Christ, would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the next three verses of the song, it bursts into praise. But very interesting and perhaps unusual praise. Verse 3 starts, "Let the societies or communities praise you, O Elohim." Let all the societies or communities praise you. So it was God's intention that every community or society on earth would praise God. And verse 4 continues, "Oh, let the peoples be glad and sing for joy, for you," that is God, "shall judge the people righteously and govern the peoples upon earth." Now again, in some ways, that sounds similar to the Lord's Prayer. "But it is worth being glad and joyful that everyone will be judged righteously, not corruptly, and that there will be a good government over all the people. Very different from the situation as I stand here this morning." And then again, the text says, "Pay attention or meditate." Okay, now I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. So if you don't know, want to know what's going to happen later, I suggest you put your fingers in your ears or turn your hearing aids off or cover your eyes or walk out. Okay, are we ready? Revelation, at the end of the Bible, tells us that all of this will happen. Every people, tribe and tongue will give praise to God, and there will be righteous and fair judgment and perfect government. I think that's something to get extremely joyful about. And verse 5 continues the theme. And within the verse, it increases the emphasis. "Let the societies praise you." And then it moves to, "Let all the societies praise you." And then with Elohim stuck there as the midpoint. So God is the midpoint in that. So we all know exactly who we are talking about. Or singing about. As we shall see, this is a song of praise to a specific deity or God, not just some group of gods sitting in Valhalla or Olympus or any religious something that you could pick out of air. This is a specific song of praise to someone specific. And verse 6 moves on to the next condition or follow-on once this has been achieved. Verse 6 says, "Then shall all the earth," again, not just part of it, the whole earth, let's do this again, from Australia all the way through the Atlantic to the other side of the Pacific, and the Hawaiian Islands. Sorry if you're from Samoa. The whole earth will yield her harvest. Sorry, I've got my slippery scarf here. So I'm just going to refix it. So, the whole earth will yield her harvest. And this suggests that only then will the earth yield her perfect harvest. Do we have any gardeners or perhaps even any farmers here today? Retired farmers, gardeners, people with allotments? Go on, stick your hands up. Come on. Be brave. Yes, fantastic. Good, right. So, at that time then, we can imagine that it will be removed of the hard ground. I'm sure some of you have to contend with hard ground. And with weeds. that come up and choke the harvest. And with this, we think back to Genesis chapter 3, where God tells them that they will have to contend with weeds and hard ground. And we think forward to Revelation 21, where we think of a new and perfect earth. And the second half of verse 6 continues, "And Elohim, even our own Elohim, shall put a blessing upon us." And this leaves no doubt as to who the you, or the God, is in the text. It is Elohim. Elohim, the God of the Bible. The God who chose Israel to be a light to the whole world. And Israel, who received this prophetic song from their God. So not only would the whole earth produce a perfect harvest when this song is fulfilled, but also will come God's own blessing. And the final verse brings this song to a conclusion and emphasizes the content of the song. Elohim shall bless us. This is when I stop and think, can I read my own writing? Elohim shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, fear here doesn't mean to kind of cower and be scared. It means to revere. It might seem that compared to many other Bible passages, the message here is simple. But this is where it gets hard. Now, in the past, some famous comedian or such said, "Christians don't tell lies, they sing them." And for most Jews, it was certainly the case with this psalm. While they might have been okay with verses 1, 6, and 7, they didn't do the rest, and generally weren't happy with the rest of it, even if they recited it or sang it. Certainly, when Jesus came, most of them had a problem about sharing their Elohim, the only God, with other nations and societies. And when I say sharing, I don't mean, as we often use it, about talking about their God. I mean like a bunch of toddlers with toys fighting over it and not wanting the others to have it. They thought that Elohim, God, was theirs, and others shouldn't really share it, or share him. Now, with this and so many scriptures and songs, many of us are no better. I had a friend and pastor in Jordan who once said to me, "The Muslims don't deserve the gospel." Well, actually, none of us deserve it. Now, to those of you out there who call yourself Christians, do you make known God's ways and his salvation to those around you? Furthermore, do you share it with those unlike you? Those from other societies or communities? And do you even get involved in making it shared across all the earth to all the people that dwell on earth? If not, you should. Some of you might want to, but be scared or not know how. I know that's where I started from. Well, then the answer to this is in the first verse. Thank you. Pray to God for his grace and his blessing and his light. That's the concept where it says, make his face shine upon us. God's light in us. And receiving those things to be able to do this. As it says in Philippians, and as I recited many times when I was living in Jordan, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And lastly, in this psalm, there is another message. For all those of you here who are not certain or know of God's salvation, there is an important lesson. Here we see how God is loving, fair, and wants to reach out to all the people of the earth. If you think that you don't fit in, or Christianity is only for middle-class whites who have got everything together, well, actually, it isn't. God brought salvation to earth, that all may know joy and gladness in him through his way. This psalm proves that there is nobody that God wants left out. Every society, every people group, he wants included. Even as verse 2 shows, that those who seem outside, who are not part of what's going on at that time, or that seem outcast, God welcomes all. As Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And if you want to be able to say, Elohim, even my own Elohim, then I recommend that afterwards you find one of us from the church or myself and come and ask for prayer. Lord, I just want to ask your blessing upon everyone here today and upon the Sunday school. And just want your words to dwell in our hearts and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Michael.